As the sun sets over Christian Europe, sleeping Christians need to wake up, non-Christians need to get up, and moderate Muslims need to rise up. Bad Moon Rising.
Hearty shalom to all of you. Jeffrey Seif here with my friend Sandra Levitt.
Shalom. Welcome to Bad Moon Rising, Jeff.
Yes, it's an ominous title for a series.
Yes.
I was drawn to develop the series for two reasons. The first being that I had concerns about Christian sheepishness in Europe and elsewhere against the backdrop of this radical Islamic strain that seems to be making more headway in the culture. Secondly, I wanted to go to Europe to film this series in part because of Jobst Bittner and his church in Tübingen, Germany. Sandra, I saw pictures and heard the story. Jobst pioneered a church, and he was given land at a rail yard where they used to ship Jews to the concentration camp. And what he wanted to do, he left the tracks there.
I know.
So everyone that goes into the building has to remember what happened to Jews in Germany. I figure I want to tell this guy's story.
Yeah, no kid. Can you imagine being a parishioner and walking across that railroad track every single time you went to the church?
Right.
Every single time. It would have to have some kind of effect on you.
Right. Now, they walk over the memory of the Holocaust.
Right.
But Jobst mobilized his church
of
a few hundred to walk along the path of the Holocaust.
I just cannot imagine what those people must be feeling as they're walking in the march. I cannot imagine.
Well, it was moving. We started off at a boardwalk area where it all began, and we marched this distance. There was a time when Hitler sent everybody on a death march.
Yeah. But this is a life march.
Yes. Well, here people that love Jesus retrace the steps. And for me, I believe Jesus is the hope of the world. The King of the Jews is the hope of the world. That the Lord, when he ignites passions in people like these, it's beautiful.
I agree. And here's the start of the march at Bissingen.
Here in Bissingen lies the beginning of the infamous Death March in 1945. As the Allied forces invaded Germany, Himmler ordered the Jews on a 14-day cross-country trek to Dachau to bring the end of the life of many. In those days, Jewish prisoners arrived at the train depot and were sent to a death camp. Back then, however, the death camp in Bissingen was rumored by survivors to be the most violent of all the camps in Europe. Christian men and women who love Jesus have prepared for months to retrace the 350-kilometer journey as they remember the Jews.
I'm marching here on this march to ask Jesus for forgiveness, and I pray that this cover of silence will be taken away.
Going on this march is for me like really a step against that covering up and being silent about what had happened.
And we want to break the silence in our nation.
That's what this march is about, to say, okay, we stand up in Germany, we will not let this happen again.
I know it's a privilege to remember the people who died here and to identify with the Jewish people here.
In the name of Yeshua, because his blood was shed for all men,
begin to pray for Israel and stand with Israel.
If you hear the news, Iran is talking about against Jewish people, and so for this I want to fight for the Jewish people.
An electrified barbed wire fence, a ditch, and a wall with seven guard towers surround the camp. And it is here at Dachau that Jeff teaches.
Arbeit macht frei. German, work will make you free. That slogan first came to my attention over the gates of Auschwitz and here at the front gate of Dachau, another concentration camp, another quite infamous one. Likewise, work will make you free. People would walk through these gates, so they'd be drugged through these gates. Of course, no one came through here willingly. Dachau housed political prisoners,
many, many tens of thousands came through these gates, and the promised work makes free, of course, was never realized. What freed people from this camp was the Allies or death, whichever came first. Beyond that, some were not freed from the camps, but removed from them, as this was just a holding place, and they were sent to one of the 1,200 camps all around Germany. Arbeit macht frei. Work will make you free. People think a lot of things will make them free. I believe that when I read the biblical text, we're told in here, in the Johannine chapter, chapter 8, he says there that and the truth will make you free. It saddens me in so many ways. The truth is in such very high demand and such very short supply. The truth of Dachau was hidden. Interestingly, in the days of Hitler's Germany, they had newspaper reports that this was like a country club. It's horrific, in fact. I was going through some of the newsprint, and they were saying so very much how this place was so very great. You'd think it was a hotel, how they were enjoying themselves. I read a letter from the Red Cross commending Himmler for the humane treatment here. It's all myth. It's all nonsense. It's all non-reality. And again, non-reality seems posted so many ways in so many days. Had a conversation earlier today about how even in media today, there's so little truth in reporting. And here in Dachau, this is the most obvious insult to truth that I know of, people thinking they were coming into this misery to be set free through work. Absolute nonsense. Oh, we would do well to open up the biblical text to learn what freedom looks like, and I believe we can find that with relative ease on our knees.
In the Second World War, millions of Jews were mercilessly slaughtered. Little did they know, little did the world know, that out of the miseries of the Holocaust would emerge the modern nation state of Israel. Isn't it fascinating that we today can visit the ancestral homeland of the Jewish people?
And God, isn't that the way God works? He brings from something so horrible something so glorious, the state of Israel.
Beauty out of ashes is predicted in the Bible.
Right.
We have a turnaround God.
Oh, marvelous God. And people need to see their homeland. They really need to see Israel.
And we need to see as well that there's a God who watches over the Jewish people, because we live in a world today where individuals want to slaughter the Jews much as they wanted to do and did do yesterday. May it never be.
And can you imagine walking through gates that say, work makes you free? Can you imagine when we know that truth is really what makes us free?
And there's a woman, Rose Price, a Jewish woman that was set free by that truth, wasn't she?
And not bitter about it. She says, I serve the Lord of Israel, which is wonderful. Our producer, Ken Berg, interviewed Rose Price. She's a wonderful, delightful woman. It's a great story to tell.
Poland was a difficult country to live in if you were Jewish. But we put up with it because my grandparents and my parents always taught us a Jew has to suffer. I attended three schools. It was the Polish school, the Hebrew, and the Yiddish. And it was wonderful. I come out of a family that grandma had 9 children, my mother had 4. And then the Germans came in, and my world died completely. At that time, I was 11 years old. I attended my school. I helped home. And when the Germans came in, the first thing was that threw out all the Jewish children from school. We were not allowed to get an education. And after that, when we were home and Mom and Bobby, Grandma, taught us, we were thrown out of our home into the ghetto. And then they caught us in the ghetto and marched us to the ammunition factory. I'm 11 years old, what do I know about ammunition? But they told me, either learn the machines or die. We worked from dark to dark, I don't know how many hours. Our food consisted of one slice of bread, a quarter of an inch thick, and one cup of, well, they call it coffee, but it wasn't Starbucks. And the starvation was tremendous. I was in six camps, including here. We were so long in the train, so many days, so many weeks and months. There was no toilet facilities. Where you stood, and you stood very tight, that's where you stood. In what you stood is what you stood from other people and you. And no food. The only water is we climbed on each other's shoulders and put our hands outside the window from the train to catch some snow. And I asked the one soldier, please give me a piece of bread, I'm hungry. And he thought that was so hilarious. No feeling. The people never had any feelings. They didn't see us as human beings. We were parasites. We were lined up and marched to Dachau. And I don't know how long it took. We were drudging in the snow. That's what I remember. So much snow, so cold. When we got to Dachau, there was no food. There was dirt. You grab the corner of the floor so nobody will find you or shoot you or strangle you. You had to fight the rats. You had to fight the bugs. You had so many lice on you, you would take your hand on your body and just clean them off and throw it. You couldn't even put them in the fire because you weren't too close. The dirt was tremendous. We were not humans. There were bodies, mile-high bodies. Some were still crying. Some were still giving out. I'm still alive. Don't bury me. There was no burying. There was nothing. They didn't even use the guns because they didn't have enough ammunition for us. And that was the life, because shortly after Dachau, we went to Burgau, another outlet or satellite. And from Burgau, we went back on the train. And then the soldier said, this time we take you to the waters to drown you, because we don't have enough ammunition and we don't have enough gas to gas you. And somebody from the men, the prisoners, because some of them we left here, some of them were still on the train, opened the door to the cattle car. And we jumped out and I grabbed my sister's hand. And I said, I made enough bullets. Let them use it now. And I said, Sarah, come on. We're jumping. To death or to life, we're going to be together. And a few nights later, the Americans came in. And that's how I was liberated. By General Eisenhower and General Clark. And the American soldiers. And I got out of this hell. And now I'm serving the God of Israel. Without him, I couldn't do it. I could never be here. So far, he made me go back to all six camps. When I walk into Dachau, that's my sixth camp, and I've been to all of them. He takes me one by one by one. That's the Lord.
They dug it out by hand. Behind me are shale deposits. You might not be able to notice, but here I have some in my hand. They say that you can squeeze this and you get a tar product out of it, which can be then further distilled to get but a small drop of oil. Well, at face value, it was a bright idea, make oil come out of the rock, but who's going to do all this work? Well, the Nazis had an answer to that question. How about the Jews? And so in mass, Jews were rounded up into this horrible slave labor camp. Little can be seen right now. Behind me is some shale, and beneath me is what's left of part of the industrial complex, where the Germans had manufactured this enormous facility. Actually, it's discernible all around the acreage here. Again, you can barely see it right now. Individuals see what looked like bunkers protruding out of the earth, some concrete, some vestige left over from a former season. It was a horrible season, but right now it's beautiful and forested. Actually, after the war, the area was deliberately reforested. This was all stripped bare. It was mined. It was nothing to look at. But now it's beautiful. You can hear the birds chirping in the trees behind me. And all of this beautiful forestation obscures the fact that this was a killing field. Well, actually, to call it a killing field can be a bit too nice. Death would have been kinder. Death can be over and done with quickly. But here, people lost their lives just in small increments. And miserable was the way they died. Here at this place, when we consider slave labor, I'm reminded of the fact that today there are still philosophical systems that reduce people to servitude. I'm not going out of my way to try to be offensive, but it is part of Islamic doctrine that those outside of the house of Allah are part of the house of war. And for these individuals, predestined is jihad, the result of which some under the heat of persecution will be converted. Those that don't will have a status called dhimmitude, wherein they're second-class citizens in an expanding Islamic empire. And as second-class citizens, they are allowed to be used as slaves. And there's a horrible history, by the way, of enslaving peoples as the movement grew and expanded. I said that to say this, that we live in a world today where the atrocities of a Nazi philosophy belong as a footnote in yesterday's history. But we live at a time today when the engines of servitude, of reducing people to a subhuman status as slave to do menial work in the interest of serving the interests of their monarch, that does exist today. And Jews, today as yesterday, are feeling the weight of all of that. Again, it's a beautiful day here in the forest, but this is today. Yesterday was not so beautiful. Let's do remember, please, to not forget the sins of the past, lest they be repeated due to our ignorance. The Lord loves the Jewish people. It's my understanding what the Lord loves, the devil hates. Let's provide a bulwark against that hatred and stand up for the truth of God's word, for his love of people in general, for his love for the Jewish people. And let's never again let people be reduced to such slavery and misery as happened here in this place some years ago. Sometimes it amazes me what humans are capable of doing. The cruelty that was imposed upon Jews and others in World War II is striking. The misery, the inhumane treatment. And not only is a study of the past in World War II troubling, when I look today at Islamic encroachment in Europe and when I survey Islamic literature, I'm troubled as well, because when I look at the religious literature and the history of that particular religious persuasion, I discover that as Islam advanced, as it conquered peoples by the sword, women were taken and sold into slavery. Little boys were taken and made eunuchs and sold into slavery. Girls were made prostitutes. They had no problem going into homes and taking boys and conscripting them into Islamic armies, never mind stealing children from the arms of their parents and raising them as Muslims. To me, I see a religious system that dehumanizes humans. For instance, in Islamic literature, Jews and Christians are referred to as apes and pigs. For me, I'm concerned when I look at World War II, I'm troubled. But when I consider Islamic advancement and ambition today, Sandra, I'm troubled as well.
And we should be, Jeff. It's not just about the Jews. It's about everybody else in the world. Islam wants to take over the world. That is their doctrine. That is what they preach. That is what they've done. 22 countries they've taken with the sword.
Right. And when one looks at the history of what becomes of non-Muslims, right, when they're absorbed into a Muslim world, it's not a happy picture at all.
And it's not. And I think that's what makes the Holocaust such a reminder. This can happen to us also. This is not a one-time deal. Evil raises its head all the time.
Yes, it's striking, particularly. There's one thing for it to raise with a secular ideology, right, but here it raises under a religious ideology.
Right.
And we ought to be concerned. Those that just cast Islam as a religion of peace are living in absolute fantasy. These are individuals that refuse to look at the literature and refuse to look at the history. There's trouble here.
Yeah, and speaking of history, I want to read from I Never Saw Another Butterfly. These are poems written by children of the Holocaust. They are imprisoned. They are work camps. But these children had no other outlet but to write what was in their hearts. This one is, I am a Jew. And it says, I am a Jew and will be a Jew forever. Even if I should die from hunger, never will I submit. I will always fight for my people on my honor. I will never be ashamed of them. I give my word. I am proud of my people, how dignified they are. Even though I am suppressed, I will always come back to life. And that's the message of hope for all people, is that we come back to life. God bless you. And as you go, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim, pray for the peace of Jerusalem.